Gig Gab, episode 427 for Monday, April 29th, Palm in Your Pocket Day, 2024. Oh, what is going? Why isn't music playing? There's the music. Technical difficulties abound. We're pushing through. Greetings, folks, and welcome to Gig Gab, the show by, for, and about working musicians here in Durham, New Hampshire. I am Dave Hamilton, and today with me, I have two of the members of a band I just recently found out about, Best Not Broken. I have Eric Jackson and Carlo Carlucci joining me, and we can hear some of the background noise. Carlo in Nashville at the moment. Hello, how are you?
Hey, Bob, how you doing? All right, doing well here. Sorry for the noise, but it's, hey, it's beautiful and sunny, so, you know, there's that.
There's that. We can hear the sunshine, my friend. And Eric, thank you for taking the time to join today, too.
Of course, my pleasure. Very nice to be here.
Yeah, thanks for coming on the show. I'm sorry Mark couldn't make it. We had technical difficulties or just spread far and wide today, but we're going to push through and make this happen. So,
yeah.
So I found out about you guys about 2 or 3 weeks ago. You opened a show around here locally at Blue Ocean Music Hall for Barry Goudreau's Engine Room. Barry Goudreau, of course, being one of the guitar players from the band Boston. And you opened this show and I was blown away. It was you're an original band, high energy performance, tight harmonies, clever inclusion of cover songs, like interwoven with your originals, the whole and a tight show that just delivered like high energy and engagement with the crowd from moment one all the way through to the end. And I thought, okay, these guys understand, like, talk about always be performing, right? Like you embodied that for this, you know, relatively, I mean, it was what, a 45 minute set or something like that,
yeah,
that you had. Yeah. So I like it, and you've been around since 2012, right? You've released like 4 EPs and 8 singles, and you're clearly good at self-promotion. So I figured I need to have you on the show. How did the band start? Tell me a little bit about the history and kind of the evolution here.
Yeah, sure. So we started as a cover band here in Southern New Hampshire. And I was always a songwriter, and so slowly started introducing the original material into the cover shows and sort of used the cover show as, a testing ground for some of the original stuff and for learning how to interact with an audience and learning how to perform and putting in all the hours and that kind of stuff. And in time, really the long-term goal was to be an original band. And that's kind of, you know, we finally evolved to that point. Of course, there have been different members along the way. And it was when we, Carlo joined us, I forget how many years ago, but a long time ago, and,
100 years ago.
There it is. Sure.
And Mark shortly there, or I guess Mark was after Carlo. Shortly thereafter. And, that's when sort of thing kind of went like from, all right, this is a project that we all feel really good about. We started having more fun and being more collaborative with the original material, and so we just took it from there. But and we still, because we have that background with the cover music, we've tried to incorporate that into some of our original stuff, just as a way of having fun and to connect with the audience, even though they're in some cases very short snippets. But we find it works, and so that's it. So we've been slugging away doing this for a while, and we're still like everybody else. We're hoping for the hit. Carlo's down in Nashville, hopefully shopping hard with all of our latest material. We'll see.
Nice.
Well, listen, somebody's got to do the work in this band. We're calling out loud. You know,
it's, I mean, come drummer.
On. It's the drummer. It's always the drummer
always
who does
the drummer.
Work. That's
always
right.
The drummer.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Tell me about it. No, it's not true. Actually, I'm in bands with great collaborators, but it's just fun to say that it's always the drummer. So I will say, I wound up listening to several of your EPs. I think that like my favorite material of yours is the most recent stuff. I think your current songs are the best that you've put out, which is a lot of bands. That's not how it works. You know, the first EP is the stuff that's good. And then it's like, oh, crap, we got to go back to the well. It's a little dry, but we'll deal. And but no, I was pleasantly surprised. It was like, oh, yeah. Like, and that your most recent EP just came out in end of 23, right?
Yeah. Yep. Exactly. Yeah. And we appreciate that very much. You know, some of those tunes have been, you talk about the well, you know, we've got a well. Some of those tunes had been kicking around for a while and we were just sort of waiting for the right time. And sure. Some of them are like totally brand new. So, yeah, nice to hear that you liked them. Well, we tend to like that EP as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Very, very, very nicely done. And I, you know, I'm a sucker for power pop. And I certainly would, like, we could call you guys power pop. I would also, but it's power pop with like an 80s and 90s twist, not, you know, power pop rooted in the 70s or whatever. It's like you definitely have some of that just 80s synth pop going on and 90s. Like, the 90s were an interesting decade for music, right? Because there's a lot of like edgy riffs, starts and stops to songs. I equated a lot of 90s rock to country songs in that they have events in the moments, punchlines, where, you know, the whole band stops, there's a moment, and then it moves on, and like, those songs are hard to learn. But, you know, but you guys have it all. Like, I really appreciated it. Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. I mean, we definitely, all of that is a part of our music. You know, I kind of started as a singer-songwriter, but loved the 80s stuff, loved the 90s stuff. You know, every EP we've done, I think, has more or less of one or the other. This last one probably is a little bit more 90s than I was anticipating. But also, you know, flashes back even more than that, I think, you know, some of the references. But yeah, for sure, it's fun. And we actually, Human Emotion, which was a song that we didn't have high hopes for, is performing pretty well on Spotify and seems to be catching some momentum. So we're psyched about that too.
That's amazing. All right, well, let's talk about this, because you clearly have figured out a few things about promoting the band and your material and all of that. Like, you're getting, you know, thousands of plays, sometimes tens of thousands of plays on, you know, for a song on Spotify or at least, you know, catalog wide. But how do you go about promoting your music other than, you know, playing gigs or you know, perhaps in addition to playing gigs?
Yeah. It's a really good question. And, you know, I don't think we have figured it out. You know, I don't know if any band has. I guess there probably are others that have figured out much more than we are. I mean, we're doing the best we can.
What are some of the things that you do? Just like it, because it's clear you do it better than many other bands. Let me put it that way. Whether you feel you figured it out or not is immaterial to this conversation. I think you figured it out, and I want to know what you do.
Yeah. Well, I guess you know. We spend some time on social media, right? So, and we go through phases where we're focused on something and trying to make it better, and then we'll turn our attention somewhere else. I wish we could do it all at once, but like many bands, we're mostly DIY. We have a little bit of help. So we, you know, we spent some time for a number of years trying to grow our social media presence, Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. And, that's definitely helped get us a base of people that we can connect with that aren't just local. You know, we've spent a lot of time early in our performing years, like literally hanging up posters and, you know, trying to create brand recognition in Southern New Hampshire. And I think we've done a decent job of that, you know, to the point where we were able to build up some connections so that we can sneak into, you know, some of these opening slots and have built up a little bit of a resume for ourselves. That and now, of course, you know, things like Spotify and some of the other streaming services are important. You know, we've hired people to help us in some cases, you know, so we part of what we do is take the money that we earn in the business and put it back, invest it back into our business. And so, you know, if we can find people that know, promotion better than we can, we'll hire them to help us with that. So we recently did a campaign, I guess it was sort of an online PR campaign. We've done a little bit of radio work where we'll hire someone to help us find radio stations that would be interested in playing us. So, you know, we put some money back into it. We hire people in cases, we're not talking big national things, but people locally or regionally that can help us build our relationships and get in front of more people. And so it's, you know, nothing complicated, but we just do the best we can at those things.
No, you
have to do a lot of it too. Sorry. You know what I mean? You have to do a lot of it. There's so many touch points out there for people to access music or to access artists that they want to follow. And I think we do try to hit all of the major, you know, areas, whether it is on social media or the streaming platforms, to make sure that we're accessible, you know, because you really don't know, like Eric said, what the magic is. Like, where's the, you know, it's not all in one spot, right? You gotta try to blanket as much as you can and somehow pay attention to all those channels too, because there's interaction that happens, and that gets to be, that's the DIY, you know, part of it, where you're trying not to miss stuff, you know, that's coming in. But it's definitely, you know, hitting as many avenues of the popular avenues, you know, as possible, and trying to stay on top of them.
That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. And you know, in the business world, in the marketing world, it's often said some version of, I know that 50% of my advertising works. I just wish I knew which 50%. And certainly in the online world, companies have attempted to deliver that answer. You still really can't, but I mean, that's your point, right? Like, you keep doing it all, and in aggregate, it starts moving the needle. It sounds like bullheaded persistence and consistency is the key. So
and a product, right? I mean, you have to have a product that, you know, that people might find interesting. And I think that the music that we make seems to resonate with some people, but I would also say that the videos that we do start to differentiate, and it's more identifiable, you know what I mean? You can relate to, oh, that's what they look like, or that's their vibe, that's their thing. I get what they're doing. So yeah, that certainly adds to it as well.
That makes perfect sense. It makes perfect sense when you think about and approach your band for the business that it is, because there is a business side to it. And it's very clear from what you guys have just been saying that you certainly approach this like a business. I think you even said those words, Eric. So
yeah, 100%. We treat it like a business and try and run it that way, you know, and we have revenue and expenses, and hopefully the revenue is higher.
Yes. Right. Well, that is good for a profitable business anyway. That's right.
Yeah,
if you're looking for a tax deduction, on the other hand, like,
Yeah.
You mentioned management help, and as I was sort of digging in and doing a little bit of prep for this, it seems like you've got, there's Enoch Entertainment is sort of listed as your management company, but it also seems like that might be you, Eric. Are you part of Enoch Entertainment, or is that a different element?
Yeah, no, Enoch Entertainment is an entity that that I set up years ago, and the initial intention was to work with us, but also with other artists in the area.
Sure.
That kind of thing. And so we did some of that early on, not as much of it now, but that was sort of the initial goal. It still serves as an entity that handles some of those tasks, but we have some other help.
Got it.
Now, as I'm more focused on the music, I guess. So.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. Okay, so you truly have farmed some of the stuff out to, like you said, to people who have the skills to complement what you guys have. Yeah.
That's yes. Cool. Yep.
Really smart. I want to dig, I know we're on a limited time here. I want to dig in to some of the more technical aspects of your show. And it sure seemed to me, correct me if I'm wrong, it seemed to me like you were playing with tracks, therefore playing with a click. It looked like, Carlo, you were kind of starting the click before every song or most songs. Am I right about that before I go any farther?
Yeah, we run a click and backing tracks for all of our original material. Yep.
Yeah, but it seemed like there were some moments where it was like not as scripted and not to a track. Is it a kind of a mix of both at times?
Yeah, that's because we're so clever.
That's great.
Listen, Dave. To me, two things are happening, right? So we're either on the click or we lost it, and I turned it off, and we're just kind of free forming. So it's hard to tell, but there is a fair amount of wizardry going on with that, and hopefully we try to make it transparent to the audience.
Yeah, it didn't look like you were trying to hide anything. Yeah, of course. Yeah. No. I thought it was great. I mean, it was nice having sort of the synth patches and other things, you know, layered into the songs to flesh things out and really enhance the musical aspect of it. And then me also just being like a musician and a nerd, it was like, all right, what's going on here? And I start paying attention, and it's like, oh, I see. Okay, that guy, he's the one. He's driving the bus, at least in terms of the click. And, that's something as a band you need to learn how to do. Eric, are you also hearing the click in your ears, or Carlo, is it only you? Like, how does that work out?
Currently, it's only Carlo. Yeah. And actually, you mentioned in-ear monitors. I was not using in-ears that
night.
I typically don't. But I do. I find actually, like, in terms of interacting with the audience, which is a little harder in a room like Blue Ocean versus a smaller club, but I find having the in-ears makes that a little harder. And I've had a hard time getting off. And Carlo's, you know, he's ready to fire me for not wearing them. But so it's only Carlo hearing the tracks.
Got it.
And so we will pick moments where we say, all right, we're dropping the track here. We're dropping the track here. We're bringing it back in. And that gives us an opportunity to be a little bit more freeform, to interact and, to make it feel like it's not, strictly, by the machine, so to speak.
Yeah. It appears we've lost Carlo, perhaps a connection or a timing issue.
Okay.
So thank you to Carlo for spending his time with us. And I'm glad I got at least that question out before we lost him. He might be coming back. So that's interesting. So you're all just staying in sync with Carlo, and Carlo is back. And that's just how that goes. Is that right?
Yeah. And we've done a lot of shows, whether cover shows or whatever, where we've done that. And so we've just grown accustomed to knowing when we're on and when we're off. And we're largely following Carlo's lead on that, but knowing that it's coming.
Yeah, right. And so, Carlo,
you can't believe what happened. Speaking of technical issues, I mean, I can't make this shit stuff up. I was sitting in apparently too sunny of an area, and my phone overheated and turned off.
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. It said your iPhone is too hot to operate. It will resume once it has cooled down.
Too hot to operate sounds like the title of your next EP.
Oh, I like
it. Sounds like, you know what it sounds like is my life. Too hot to operate.
So, Carlo, you mentioned it, you're being aware of the click in those moments. And if the band starts to drift too far off and you can't get everybody back, you just bail on the click and just play the song like a band. How long did it take you as a band until you, Carlo, were comfortable sort of managing that and trusting that everything was going to work most of the time?
Well, you know, I guess it was a process. I mean, most of my career has been non-click related live.
Sure.
But as you know, all click related studio. So, you know, as a drummer, it's not a great issue. But when you are playing live, there are moments, especially given the dynamics of what Eric and Mark are doing up front, where sometimes it doesn't lend itself to that opportunity. So we actually, there's a fair amount of time, background town, that goes into, the whole band, I guess is what I should say, knows where they're supposed to be in regards to using the click. So we don't stray too often. It's generally on it. And I think that as each show goes by, what I should say is each set list change, right? So when the set list is locked in, and the show that you saw was a brand new set list for us.
Okay.
So you know, you can rehearse it all you want, but until you play it live,
you don't know.
You really don't know, right? Yeah. But we've got a fairly simple setup for how we run the tracks. It's you know, unfortunately, it puts the drummer in a bubble because, you know, I can't really hear what's going on. We're not using a room mic, really. So,
Have you tried, and this is just, you know, drummer tricks, have you tried using, like, bleeding more of your overhead mic into your ears to use that as sort of the stage wash microphone?
Which works really well, but you may have noticed I did not have overheads that night.
I did notice you didn't have overheads that night, and I was wondering how you were... How that felt? Yes,
isolated than usual.
I will often bring my own, you know, overhead replacement or stand-in mic if the front of house doesn't want to use overheads or whatever. I still want it, so I will, you know, bring a mixer and an overhead, and I'll take the feed that front of house gives me, add some sort of ambient stage wash mic that I can blend in on my own into that feed. And it saved my bacon more than once. So,
oh, for sure. I mean, it makes a big difference. You know, I mean, my method is I crack an earpiece.
Yep.
And I drop an earpiece so that if I need to hear what's going on that's kind of what I do, you know, as an opener. You know, if we're headlining, never an issue. We make sure everything is where it needs to be. But as an opener, you've got a limited window.
Yes.
And you got to deal with what you have, you know.
Exactly. You know, as an opener or on a, you know, multi-band bill, festival bill or something like that, you get what you need. You hope for a little more and suddenly it's downbeat, you know, got to go.
Right.
And you know, it makes a big difference. You know, obviously the quality of the sound that we're hearing, you know, it certainly as a performer affects what you can give back to the audience, you know, to be hearing yourself properly.
Absolutely. And it's clear that you, as I said earlier, you know, that you are all super focused on giving everything you can to the audience. I loved how you would just seamlessly drop into, you know, either the, you know, second half of a cover song or a you know, the bridge or a chorus of a cover song, and then right back into your original. That's a byproduct of having been a cover band and trying to sort of sneak your originals into sets in the earlier days. Is that right?
Yeah, I would say so. And also just trying to think about how to have some fun with it, you know, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah. It's clear you rehearse this stuff. I mean, it to us in the audience, it's a surprise, but it's not a surprise. Like when you started, Eric, you started playing the guitar solo from Freebird, you know, just right in the middle of, you know, one of your original tunes. It was one of those moments. I looked at my son, we both kind of laughed, like, oh, he's playing the lick from Freebird. And it was like, no, they're actually now playing Freebird. Like, this is not just the lick from Freebird, but this did not surprise anyone on stage is what I guess I'm trying to say. So, yeah,
no, but I'll tell you, Carlo did surprise me at the end of that tune, because actually we were supposed to go back into our.
I was just thinking about that.
Right?
Screw ups. Yeah. Yeah, for sure.
We did have a screw up because we were supposed to go back into the original tune, but Carlo must have been checking out a girl or something. I don't know what he's doing.
I was focused on an audience member. She was actually she was stage left, and she was air drumming to everything that I was doing. And she, I think she had red hair actually.
Okay.
And so very exciting to watch.
I didn't know that. Dave, we're learning something here. Thank you for pulling this.
Yeah. Distracted by a redheaded air drummer. I love this.
Yeah. No. I mean, you can't make this up. This is how it happens. And then, of course, as soon as we get into the big wash at the end, I'm thinking, I just missed the cue. I mean, here it is.
Yeah.
The cue is over. But I'll give you a little secret, Dave. So at that point, so that song does run, you know, tracks, you know, with a click.
Yeah.
And we designed that one so that it obviously drops off when we jump into Freebird, and it does not come back. So you know, in my defense, how am I supposed to know what to do?
You didn't have the guide track.
Yeah, I didn't have the guide track.
Plus, you had a redheaded air drummer. I mean, come on.
And I had the redheaded air drummer. So there's nothing I could do about it. I'm helpless in that situation.
Like anyone else in your shoes would have done exactly the same thing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We drummers need to stick up for each other.
Yes, exactly. Right.
That's great. And that was not apparent. As a musician, you go see a band, you catch those moments where everybody on stage kind of looks at each other like, oh crap, what just happened? Are we all on the same page? Okay, great. You know, like that, I'm sure that happened. And I'm sure you were aware of it. In the crowd, I was not. And so, like, that, you know, it's a testament to your professionalism. So, yeah.
Well, thanks. And I would reiterate, that's from years of playing together.
Yes.
You know, certainly, right. You know, as you know, the rhythm section is obviously, you know, that's the band, right? Everybody else.
It's the most important part of the band.
Of course it is. Yeah, right. But in all seriousness, you know, Mark and I have been together for a long time. And, you know, we can cue off each other pretty easily, and whatever the lunatics up front are doing, we can pretty much, you know, keep it under control. But in a serious note, I mean, that is the benefit of playing together for a long time.
Of course, like
we kind of know, and I think we all kind of knew, but we covered that up pretty good, I think.
Yeah, you totally did. It was like, oh yeah, all right. Well, they just transitioned to Freebird and ended Freebird. Like, okay, that's fine. That was fun. Like it, and for that crowd. You know, there to see a you know, piece of classic rock history with Barry Gaudreau, maybe not the worst mistake to have made. Like, you know, finish out Freebird and give people Freebird. Like, for that crowd, I'll tell you, everybody there, you know, they were all into it, so it's fine.
And you kind of touched on something that we do think about. You know, we think about who are we playing with, what's the audience going to be like, and like that was the first time we've ever played Don't Fear the Reaper.
And
that came out. That song came out, I think, the same year that Boston's first album came out. So we knew there was going to be some connection there.
Sure,
you know, a couple of those old classics we thought would be a good fit. So we tried to have a little fun with them.
Amazing. Amazing. Well, I know we are at the pushing the limit of the time that you two have for us today. I just want to say thank you for taking the time to be with us. I really appreciate it. Please tell everyone where they can find you and how they can learn more about you and maybe catch a show or at least listen to some of your music.
Sure. So, www.bestnotbroken.com, which Dave, as you pointed out, is under a brief hiatus, but we'll be back very soon. That's our website. And then we've got, you know, a Facebook page, Instagram page, Twitter page, all that stuff. And we're going to be doing some touring this summer. We're going to be, as you mentioned, Train, we're going to be playing with Train up in Guilford, New Hampshire at Meadowbrook.
No kidding. That's fact. I will let Matt. We had last week Matt Musty from Train here on Gig Gab, and so I will make sure he knows that you guys are going to be there and that you've got the Gig Gab connection. So yeah, that's great.
Yeah, Matt may not know it, but actually, Pat has on his. I think he has a Sirius show, Sirius Satellite show. He played one of our tunes. Actually, it was that song that we did Freebird on. Tell Me You Want Me played on Pat's Sirius radio show. And we've done a couple. So we do the second stage up at Meadowbrook, and we've done a couple of these with Trains. So that'll be a fun one.
That's great.
But yeah, we'll be around. Check out some live dates. We try to be a live band, and we'd love to have you come out and see us.
You are a fantastic live band, and I really appreciate your time, Carlo. Thank you. Eric,
thank you so much. Thank you.
Absolutely. If you had three words of advice to share with our audience, what might those be?
Ready, Carl? 1, 2, 3.
Always be performing.
with the
filter and everything else. Thanks, folks. We'll see you next week.
Thanks. Appreciate it.